chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and verse number 2. I'm always thankful for the opportunity to preach. It's always a blessing to, I come down here almost every other Wednesday night, and I preach to the youth group. And I thank Brother Dennis for the opportunity to do that, because it always gets me closer to God, getting his word and finding a message from him. And I can't thank you enough for the opportunity. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to start in verse number 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, so bear with me as I read. And it said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay unto morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel said, And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with your power. I pray that I'd hide behind my calling, Lord. And I pray that you'd do a work here this morning, Lord. And I pray that it'd be a blessing to these people throughout their whole life. And I pray that I'd give them something to remember, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you all a question. Does any of you guys know what Nike's catchphrase is? Nike's catchphrase. This is a little bit different. Just do it. That's what my message is going to be titled this morning, Nike, Just Do It. And I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony before I preach, because a lot of you probably don't know me. I got saved, I made a profession of faith when I was 5 years old. I've grown in church all my life. My dad's a pastor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Aberdeen, Maryland. And I've been going to church all my life, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And it was never real to me. I made a profession of faith at 5 years old. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. But it wasn't real to me until May 5th in 2015, when I was 14 years old. And God saved me, and it's made my life different ever since. I've gone to a Christian school all my life. I've never known what public school is like. But I thank God for a Christian school. That's where I got saved at. It was during a Bible study about doubting your salvation. I had doubted my salvation because I made a profession when I was 5, and it was never real to me. But I had been doubting my salvation for a while. And then I didn't even ask the teacher. I already knew how to get saved. I didn't even ask the teacher or anything. I just kneeled down right there in front of the whole class, and well, not in front of the whole class. I did it kind of discreetly in the middle of the class and asked God to save me. It was about 11 o'clock, and then 3 months later, I got called to preach at youth camp, and I already knew that God. I've already been serving in the church and singing with my family, but it was never real to me. His worship and stuff has never been real to me until I got saved. And you'll never understand what worship is until you get saved. You'll never understand what it's like when people are shouting and worshiping Jesus until you get saved. It's going to be confusing to you until you get saved. But that's a little bit of my testimony. I'm going to preach this morning on Nike, Just Do It. Just do it for God. And my illustration is going to be a baseball diamond. The first base, this is my first point, is getting saved. To start any life with Jesus, to do anything for God, you have to get saved. And when you get saved, you start a walk with God. And you start reading your Bible. Well, it's going to start to happen. You're going to start reading your Bible. God's going to start putting this on your heart to happen. You're going to start reading your Bible. You're going to start praying more. And you're going to start praising God. It might be in a little bit when you first get saved, but you're going to start praising God. When I first got saved, I've been a shy kid all my life, so when I got called to preach, I was scared out of my mind. I've been a shy kid who never really talked to anybody. But when I got called to preach, God was going to change it up on me. I have more of a voice when I sing now than I ever thought I was going to have, because God changes it. God will give you what you need when you get saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And it says, verse 9, it says, "Not works, lest any man should boast." Your works aren't going to get you to heaven. Right. Nothing that we do is good enough to get us to heaven. Right. And until you understand that, you're never going to be able to get saved. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And then my second point, which is the second base, is saying, "Here am I to God's plan." In verse number 10, it says, "Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" Amen. Then he did what God had for him. Before you are going to know what God called you to do, you're going to have to say, "Here am I. Amen. Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever your plan is for my life, do it." Whatever it is. You're not going to be able to do what God wants for you to do after you get saved until you have a "Here am I" moment. Until you think and say to God, "Lord, I'm here. Do with me what you will." And at the point of second base, your walk with God is going to become stronger. Yes. You're going to read your Bible more. Amen. It's just going to come. It's just going to come as you're going to church. You're going to be going through the motions less and praying more and praising God more. Amen. And I can't talk about praising God without going to Psalm 150. Turn there, if you will. Psalm 150 and verse number 1 is where we're going to start. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So what I'm trying to say here is, if you're breathing, you should be praising God. There's no introvert. You might think, "I'm an introvert. It's not really my thing to raise my hand or say amen." Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible doesn't say if you're an introvert, that's okay. God's not saying that if you're an introvert or if you're not really outgoing, that you don't get a choice. It says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." So unless you're dead, you should be praising him. When God shows up, there's nothing greater than the sound of his people praising. And I got a hold of that. After I got called to preach, I had fought it for a year. I didn't have a "Here am I" moment until like a year after. I didn't give my life completely to Jesus because I love basketball, and I've always played basketball. I've played basketball since I was 4, so almost as much as I've been going to church. And it wasn't really my parents' fault. They didn't tell me. They showed me that God was more important than playing basketball. But I'm pretty good at it. But that's the thing. That's what drew me away from God, is because I thought that a secular Division I scholarship was more important than preaching to God. I spent so much time trying to get better in a gym and trying to get better at basketball that I didn't spend as much time as I needed to with Jesus. And I was around 14 when I got called to preach and saved, and God started to change it on me. But around that time is when I was in ninth grade, and I started being able to play for like a high school team. And people told me, if you keep going on the route you're going, you're going to be able to get Division I scholarships. And you're going to probably be able to play for Division I, and basketball is probably going to be your life until after you get out of college, or if you're good enough, you go to the NBA. I'm not tall enough, obviously. They didn't know I was going to stop growing, but I was pretty tall when I was 14. I was about this height. So they thought, oh, you're going to keep growing about 6'2", and then you're going to be pretty good at basketball. And I play point guard, so 6'2 would have been the average height in the NBA for a point guard, 6'3". And my doctor told me I was going to be 6'2", so I had it all planned out. I'm going to be a basketball player. I'll serve God, but I'll be a basketball player at the same time. Until you give yourself, here am I, your life won't be the same. You won't be able to serve God like you want to. And ever since I gave myself over to God, He's shown me so much. I looked back before this meeting, and I go to Florida every year around this time. It's the first week of February. And I get recharged. But I think about what God's done in my life before I go, and I dwell on it. I think about what God's done in my life. And this last year is the first, I think, 4 years since I've said, here am I. I was at a school meet. We were at our school, we go to an international student convention. We're in AC, we go to an international student convention. And their theme was, here am I. So one night the preacher was preaching, I think it was Kenny Baldwin, and he said, and it was about, here am I. You're going to have a here am I moment. And I knelt down and I told God, here am I, Lord, use me. And third base is God's calling for your life. I messed up on the bases. I didn't do it right. It's not always going to go. The bases aren't always going to line up the same way. You might go from second base to first base to third base, whatever it is. Because I've heard people getting called to preach and then getting saved years later. But after third base, it says, you're going to start reading your Bible every day and praying almost every hour of every day. After you get to third base, after your calling, after you get your calling, you'll start tuning in to your calling. You'll start tuning in to God's Word, tuning in to praying with Him. There'll be precious times and peace with God when you pray instead of just something, a job that you're doing. And if you're diligent about reading your Bible and praying, God will give you a great time. And then once you're at third base, once you're ready to go home, which is home plate is heaven, once you're ready to go home, you'll start being able to praise God with, like Psalm 150 talks about. Once you're ready to go home, I don't think anybody's really ready to get to heaven because it's so much farther than we can fathom, but what we do is going to be closer to what heaven's doing when we completely give our life up to God. And you'll have so much more peace and so much more anointing, like Brother Kenny was talking about on Friday night. Instead of being admired, you'll be anointed. And until you get anointed, you won't see the joy in the Christian life. My whole life, I was growing up in church, Christian school and all that stuff. I was joyful about the things of God and about the people of God, but I didn't really know the joy of God until I got saved and until I gave my heart to Him. And then home plate, which is heaven. Oh, wait, first before I talk about home plate, I've got this thing that I got from Dr. John Hamblin. It says Maxims for Young Ministers. And the 31st, I read it every day, and it has 31 things. It's kind of like a proverb. But it says, the ministry is not a sprint, but a marathon. You're not going to just immediately get to the point where you're ready to go to heaven, where you're homesick for heaven. It's going to take a while. It says, mile markers are not the days, but the decades. That's what this man of God said. It says, once you learn that mile markers are not the days, but the decades, then you'll start to realize that God's work is a marathon. And I've been preaching for 3 years, so I'm not even to a mile marker yet. But I just know that if I keep going, it's been a blast ever since I've been called to preach. It's I don't love doing anything more than preaching, and then the second to that is singing. I love singing, but preaching takes the number one in my heart. And then it says, once you get all in, all the way to glory. Once you're all in, you'll be all in, all the way to glory. Like Brother Polk was talking about in Sunday school, the things of the earth won't seem as, like Naomi saw in Moab, the things of the earth won't seem as appealing to your eye. They might seem appealing to your eye for a little bit, but then you'll fight it off. Once you get to the third base of your life, you'll be able to fight off the things of God, the things of the devil. And you'll think about the things of God more. I recently, in this last year, God's done a lot in my heart. I put away all the wrong music. I put away all the wrong TV shows. I've been trying to get my life tuned in for God and His calling. And it's so much more of a joy when you put away the wrong music. And this is talking more so to the people of my age, because that's something that we deal with. I know that. And once you put away the wrong music, you'll find joy in God's music. There's something about the wrong music that you think about, there's pleasure in, but what you don't realize is you're not listening to the words like you should be. When you're like, oh, I'm just turning on a song, it's not going to affect me any. What's in that music is of the devil. There's not really a worldly song that is okay. I've heard people, oh, it's okay, it doesn't have that much wrong in it. No. It's not about God, is it? It says in Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of his saints. And until we realize that we're supposed to sing unto the Lord a new song and not sing what the world is talking about, we won't really be where we need to be. Then, home plate, which is heaven, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So this whole entire thing, going from first base to second base to third base, is to obtain heaven. We're going to run so we may obtain. So anytime that you're struggling with something, anytime, just think about it. Know ye not that ye run, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Amen. So we're going to receive a prize. Run that ye may obtain the prize. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little bit homesick for a city. I'm ready. I'm 17, but I'm already ready to go to heaven. I'm not saying that I'm tuned in like I should be every aspect of my life. I miss and I falter and I fail. But heaven sounds like a joy to me. Praising God constantly brings joy to my heart. Amen. And then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
So, looking unto the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is how we're going to be able to get through the bases of life. How we get through the bases of life is going to be through looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Once you're saved, the next bases are going to become easy for you. They're not going to become exactly easy, because it's still putting away more of your flesh than taking on the Spirit, when you take on the Spirit. But it's going to be so much easier when you look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, who saved us, is going to help you through what you're going through. And that's my message this morning.
Amen.
Is Nike, just do it for God. Just run the bases.
Hey.
I'm a basketball player. I've never played baseball, but I can still say something about baseball in a message. Run that you may obtain.